Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Oh, to be like Jesus, hallelujah. On earth I long. To be like Him.
Is that your desire of your heart? Would you like to be like Jesus?
I only have, oh, to be like Him.
Hallelujah.
Oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only have.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, to be like Him.
Father, as we come boldly to the throne of grace, Father, with our desire of our heart is to be like You, to be like Jesus. Father, help us, teach us, lead us, and guide us in the paths of righteousness, into Your ways, so we could be like You and be called Christians. Father, I thank You, Lord. Father, I yield my spirit unto You. I ask You to have Your way within this service. Father, we love You and we thank You and we praise You. We give You all glory and honor and praise. We ask You to use us this evening, Father. We ask You to open hearts to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the church. We thank You in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can all be seated. Brother Terry just called me and he's all tore up and he lost his job. He said he's embarrassed to face the brethren or his family. And just pray for him. I told him he's going to have to set his faith. He can get himself tore up in his spirit and let this thing destroy him. And things will be worse. But if he sets his faith and trusts God in it, all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. I believe he loves the Lord. So I think this could work out for his good. What a man does, a Christian man, when these things happen, considers his ways. Finds out, what have I done? What did I do? Sometimes persecution can come to a child of God. I've been fired one time in my whole life. And it was because of my testimony. I was zealous in the Lord. I was young in the Lord. Got saved, and I thought everybody needed Jesus. And I told everybody about Jesus. And there was some people on the job. One of them happened to be the manager of this place I worked. And he didn't want to hear about him. But I thought he needed to hear anyway. But you know, all things work together for the good. The day that I lost the job, I'd been in the aircraft business a long time. And it was kind of in between things. And I took a job as a salesman the very day that I lost the job. The next day I walked into an aircraft job doing what I wanted to do and had the money and the finances that I wanted to be making. So it worked out. And I went in and I confronted the man. After that, I told him, I went into his office. I said, buddy, I first off thanked him for the job opportunity, and I told him, I said, I know that I didn't lose this job because of my lack of sales. I said, I happened to go through the records, and then you hired 4 new employees at the same time, and my sales were beyond all of theirs, that I was their top in the new recruits. I was their top in sales. And I said, I know what the problem is. I said, I won't sit and listen to your filth and your filthy jokes and won't laugh at you as you use the Lord's name in vain. And cuss and curse and act like some kind of filthy beast. I might not have quite said it that strong, but that's what I told him, and he dropped his head, and I walked out of his office. I listened to the man talk about the book of Revelations and said to John on the Isle of Patmos, said that he had gone out of his mind with a disease in his brain. A man that would even speak like that against the Word of God, you know, is a reprobate. And the man needs to get saved and get born again was his problem. Even though he called himself even a Christian. But, you know, the Scriptures teach us that two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And I don't care if they call themselves a Christian. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care if they're faithful in church. If you don't find the fruit of God and godliness in their life, they're either you're going to have to work with them as a little baby and indoctrinate them into the Word of God and the things of God, or they're either a reprobate and they believe a lie and they're damned. They've seared their conscience over with a hot iron is what the Bible says. It's good to have Robert. I know Brother Ed greeted you, son. It's good to have you here. This is where you should be all the time, sitting in the services, and hope we can say something encouraging. Let's turn our Bibles over to 2 Corinthians. Let's read again in the 2 Corinthians 6th chapter. I'm going to go down to about the... Let's just read the whole chapter. It won't take us long. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfringed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, and chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, just a little bit. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, as we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. I'm going to stop there. We find an exhortation going forth from Brother Paul, writing over to the church in Corinth. You know, we see here, brothers and sisters, when we read these things and passages, that they're spirits. We're dealing continually with spirits. People don't really understand, and people don't really recognize spirits. They don't comprehend. People deal with people as dealing with the individual that they lay eyeballs on. You know, you look at a man and you look at him, you size him up. You say, well, you look at him, you look the way he's dressed, maybe the way he does his hair, the way he does, and you size him up and you could make a judgment. And there's some truth to that, but not in all cases. But there is some truth in that perspective. We call it intellectual discernment. I say we, I guess maybe I do that. And I've ministered a few times about that. You could take a man that looks like he's supposed to look, dresses like he's supposed to look, but his spirit's out of whack. He ain't right, he ain't clean in his heart. He may call himself a preacher, he may have a Bible under his arm. He may have a doctor's degree in doctrine hanging on his office wall. He may look right, he may sound right, but with the discernment you could see that his spirit isn't clean and he's out of whack. But as we speak here and we're talking about evil communications, corrupting good manners, we're talking about not being unequally yoked, we're talking about not being believers or Christians yoked up with unbelievers, or fellowshipping unbelievers, fellowshipping lost, fellowshipping people of the world. But then yet, how do we size these things up? And how do we look at it? Can we fellowship anybody that calls himself a Christian because they say they're a Christian? Hey, I'm a Christian. He says he's a Christian. I can fellowship him because he says a Christian. If you do that, you'll find yourself in trouble. You'll find yourself in problems. Well, if I can't fellowship these people that are unbelievers, how could I ever indoctrinate them or teach them the Word of God? How could I indoctrinate them in the gospel? How could I teach them about this love of God? How could I teach them about this salvation and this Jesus that died for them and shed his blood for them that they could have life? You see, we talk about ministering and we talk about fellowshipping. And light and darkness cannot have fellowship. And if you have to entertain darkness to fellowship, then you've lost your testimony anyway and your words have no power, no strength. You understand? At all. So there's several ways to do this, and it's by the Spirit of God. But still, wanting to keep a continuity of thought, so many things could be said. Always find that we always have short of time. You know, may minister an hour and a half, and you find that the things of God and in the kingdom of God, they're so rich and so many things, that when you find yourself raptured into the mind of the Lord, that you can go on for hours and hours. Making an effort to keep things as simplistic as I can. Again, as we read in this passage of Scriptures, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And I will be your father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. As I started to say a moment ago, speaking of spirits, when people look at people, they size them up. And they look at them and they deal with people usually in that such a way. But then we've got spirits that are invisible spirits. They're unseen. People don't see them. You don't record them with these natural eyes of vibration. As the eyes look, again they record these 22 conductive nerves going to the eye, record the vibrations of things that it sees, and it shoots a signal to your brain. And it tells you this is what you're seeing, this is the shape, or this is what kind of person, this is what color, or whatever it is. But if you depend on natural eyesight and natural hearing, natural taste, natural touch, all of those things of those five senses, the smell, the taste, these things, you will be deceived. They will deceive you. They will let you down. They are of a temporal life. But when we get into discerning of spirits, or we get into understanding things of the invisible spirit world, I can tell you, I know it would seem somewhat comical, but then yet it's a very good statement. It's like the professor that told his classroom, he said, there is no God. And he asked the people in the class, have you seen God? And nobody could raise their hand. Have you touched him? Have you tasted him? Have you felt him or whatever? Nobody could say anything. And he goes, okay, we're going to sum it up right now. There is no God. You see, there was a man making a judgment from an intellectual perspective, from seeing and things. And the man was bound up in an intellectual foolishness. But as a young fella in the class raised his hand, and he said, has anybody seen? Has anybody touched? Has anybody felt? Has anybody tasted Professor such and such's brain? And he said, let it be established, he has no brain. You see what I'm saying? I know it would seem comical, but then yet, we have to have faith in an invisible God. We have to have faith into an invisible spirit world. And this is why most people are lost on their way to hell, because they go by what they see. They can't put their faith in something unseen. They could put their faith in the green stuff when they got it in their hand, but they can't put faith in a promise of God in prosperity. And they fail. They can't step out in faith and go beyond the realms of what their finances will carry them, because they can't put their faith in an invisible, unseen God to step out and go forth in faith. So we understand, and we make an establishment here, that there's not one person in this room that's seen Jesus crucified on the cross. There's not one person in this room that's seen him buried into the ground. There's not one person sitting in this room that's seen him resurrected from the dead. But then yet, I could say that if you are full of the Holy Ghost and if you're born again, then you have seen. But when I say one person sitting here, I'm talking about in your first birth, in your intellectual, natural understanding, you have not seen that. But then yet, through the mind of Christ and through the eye of the Spirit and getting the blinders taken off, then you see into the spiritual realm. And you see Christ manifested and Christ resurrected in this present day and hour, or the Bible says you're Antichrist. If you cannot believe that Christ is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. So what we're speaking about is spirits. So I'm establishing here a thought that this Jesus that we love and this Jesus that we serve and this Jesus that we gave our life to, this Jesus that we surrender our life, our thoughts, and make the changes necessary to be a Christian and the changes necessary to live according to the Scriptures in obedience to His Word, we haven't seen Him. And we read about this God, says He's a just God, a righteous God, a holy God. And we read about Him. We see He pours His wrath out all through the Old Testament, killing every man, woman, child, everything, beast, and everything. And even if, when we think of the mountain that Moses went upon, if anything even touched that mountain, it would die. And we think of this God and we form a thought and a picture in our mind. But then yet He's an unseen God. He's an invisible God. Even though that God, the Bible says, speaking of the Father, is invisible. The Bible says that. Uses that exact wording. And even though the Bible says that no man has ever seen Him, and then we come to the personification of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they ask Him, when do we see the Father? You're all very familiar with this. And He says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? So we establish Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus is God. He is the Father. He is the fullness of the Godhead. The Godhead means Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or body, soul, spirit. So we're talking about body, soul, spirit, and we're trying to understand a spirit world that's invisible. And this spirit invisible world comes in and it manifests itself. Is Jesus still feeding the hungry today, just as He did 2,000 years ago? Is Jesus still healing the sick today as He did 2,000 years ago? Is Jesus still raising the dead today as He did 2,000 years ago? Is He still opening blind eyes today as He did 2,000 years ago? And we say yes. How does He do that? You see, when you are born again, then you've received this Spirit of God in your life. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is what the Bible says. Said, let this same Spirit dwell in you that will change your mortal bodies into immortality. Let that same Spirit dwell in you that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. Let that same Spirit, and the Bible even goes on to say that even greater things will you do than what He did. The Bible said that He's the firstborn of many brethren. So we're going to establish a thought that understanding who Jesus is, where He is, and what He's doing. He says when two or three come together in His name, that He's in the midst. So we establish that Jesus, according to His scriptures and to His word, He's with us. He's here. And then we think the way the religious church world teaches, they say, well, we ask Jesus in our heart. Does that mean He's dashing around in there and His pumper's a pumping man and He's trying to make sure He don't get sucked through the intake valve or the exhaust valve? I know, you know, sometimes you got to say things like that to establish thought. Because what does it mean when Jesus is in my heart? And if He's in my heart, then the Bible says it don't matter. The height, depth, widths, lengths, or whatever, no place to hide from Him. That He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. So how could He be everywhere, but then yet He's in my heart? The Bible said the kingdom of God is within. And then we talk about heaven. I know I'm opening up a lot of thoughts, but just give you something to ponder on. And no, you won't come into all these different thoughts into some sort of a revelation or some kind of an understanding. Sit in a service or two services or three services. You got to give your life to the Word of God, pressing your things into the things of God. But we think of heaven. And as I mentioned, a minister that's very popular, he's got a big TV broadcast, he's got his wife on there and she preaches, his daughter's on there and she preaches, and he says that heaven is out there on a planet somewhere. So I guess someday that we're going to die, they're going to put this old body in a box, and someday we're going to be caught away to this planet. We're going to have little naked angels floating around with wings playing violins. You know, and they're going to be singing these songs that none of us like. You know, and they're going to be floating around, and we're going to be walking around on streets of gold. And that's what we got to look forward to. It sounds like I'm mocking, I know. But I am truly mocking that kind of mindset because it's ignorance. But see, this is why people don't want to serve God. This is why the world is in the condition that it's in. Because if they think, well, this is what eternal life is. You know, I mean, you know, come on, what is eternal life? Is this what it is? You know, am I changing my life and changing my all my, you know, the things that are unpleasing to God and coming out like the Bible says of these unclean things and from the filth and the foolishness of the world and commanded to live a godly, holy life? And am I going to do all these things and I don't even understand where eternity's at or where heaven's at or what's going to be happening? And then we think, as we read the scriptures and come to the revelation of the Lord, we find out that we're already in heaven. And you say, oh my, I've been given my life and changed my life to get somewhere that I'm already at. But then yet I could have one man sitting here and he's in heaven and another man sitting here and he's in hell. And you say, how could that be? Well, there will be a manifestation of hell. A man could be going through travail and through turmoil. And be into what we call we could say he's going through the tribulation in his mind, tribulation in his thoughts. Dale could say the man that he dealt with last night was troubled in his mind. And the Bible says that they'll be turned over to the tormentors. And we always look at that as being something on the other side. After we die, after we quit breathing, we always look at these things, well, this is what's going to happen. But the Bible says that man is consumed in the flames of hell in their own lust. So where's hell? Is it just a man being consumed in his own lust and his own fleshly desires? Is that hell? Yes. And you say, wait a minute. There's got to be more to hell than that. Yes, there is. That hell is going to be taken, the Bible says, death and hell, and both be cast into the flames or the lake of fire. And you say, you really believe that there's the lake of fire? Yea and amen. The Bible says it, and I believe it. I stake my whole life, everything on this word. This word is true. Bible said, let this word be true and every man be a liar. Every man. So then what are you saying? When you talk about heaven's here, you talk about hell's here. We're talking about dimensional projection. We got to understand spirits. We got to understand. We started talking about invisible spirits. So we're going to talk about We talk about God. And I ask a question. I said, is he feeding the hungry? Is he still healing today? And I see many people nodding their head, yes. How's he doing that? He's doing it through his many-membered body. Because we're full of the Spirit of God. And we received him and we're doing good. And being about the Father's business just as he was. Doing good to them that despitefully use you. And we go out and we do good and we help others and we do things. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We do the things because this is what Jesus done. And it's Jesus manifesting in this day and this hour through us. He's an invisible spirit. The Spirit of Christ dwelling within us. He personified himself, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, personified himself in Jesus. And we've seen the people of that day and hour of 2,000 years ago seeing God manifested in the flesh, walking among man, doing good to mankind. And brought, even though the Bible said he came in that sin nature, in the image of that sin nature, I should say, and he took it to the cross of Calvary and was crucified. And that's what brought you life and life more abundantly. Now, so we find that this Spirit manifesting there. Now we find this Spirit comes back and it's manifesting in us. And then we think, what is the devil and where is the devil? Who is the devil and how does the devil manifest? Is there a devil? Is he this guy with forked horns? Is he this guy with a pitchfork? Is he got a tail? Does he look like a dragon? What does he look like? The Bible said that he was put on his belly and to eat of the dust. And you know, we think of the serpent. And we get all these different kind of thoughts and all these different kind of things. Where is the devil? The Bible said there's many antichrists among us. Where's he at? So you think, I think I would recognize him. He's going to be in the bars. He's going to be out there. You know, the devil's for sure going to be a harlot, or the devil's going to be a whoremonger. The devil's going to be a homosexual. The devil's going to be a lesbian or this and that. And you think, surely that's the devil. But then when the Lord Jesus was speaking to Peter that baptized and added 3,000 to the church on the first day, he turned to Peter and he said, get ye behind me, Satan, that ye savor the things that be of the flesh. So is it the devil himself that added to the church on the first day? Could it be? Come on now. So see, this is where people don't understand. You say, well, I know that Judas is the devil. He would be the devil. Because the Bible says it had entered into him, that Satan entered into him. So surely there he is. And I say, yeah, I'm not going to dispute with you. But then why did he say that to Peter? And then why could it be that you give place to carnality and you savor the things that be of the flesh, and according to these scriptures it would make you antichrist? Or if you as an individual cannot believe that God is in the flesh, is, not was, or not is going to be, is, present tense, now, the Bible says that if you can't believe that God is in the flesh, then you're antichrist. So could we have the antichrist with us today? Yes. Could he be in this church? Today, yesterday, last week, tonight, next week, could he be here? The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves that the devil was there also. Could the devil come to church tonight in a brother and then next week he's not with him because he gave place to him? The Bible says resist the devil and draw nigh unto God and he'll flee. Is there a thing that possibly that you could be given place to a spirit and carrying a spirit of the Antichrist with you? And then maybe because of prayer and because of fasting and because of believing in God that this spirit has departed and this spirit has left you, and then you would find yourself standing in the presence of God clean and holy and righteous? Most definitely. But then yet, is your spirit defiled? Could your spirit be possessed of the devil? If it is, then he is your father, according to the scriptures. How do we recognize the devil? How do we recognize him? Do we recognize him by the way they look, by the way they dress, by the way they talk? If you do that, you're deceived. Because the devil's got his most strength in what they call the ministry. Preachers, pastors, evangelist, surpassing land and sea, the Bible says, making twofold more the child of hell. So where's he getting his strength? Let me tell you something. If the devil could come in and deceive people in religion and teach the people that they have eternal life and teach the people that they have God, then they're no longer seeking after God because they think they've got God. And what more deception could there be than that? If you want to talk about a spirit of a drunkard or a dope addict, or talk about a spirit of a sodomite or a queer or whatever you want to say, or a spirit of a... It doesn't matter. And you think about delivering people from those things. The hardest spirit to get somebody delivered from is the spirit of a religious spirit. Do you not believe that? Wait till you get to talk to Jesus. It wasn't the harlot that he delivered that caught her in adultery that crucified him on the cross. It wasn't the drunks that they gave him a bad time when he went into their homes to try to minister to them and to teach them how to come out of those things. They weren't the ones that crucified him. It was the religious people that crucified him. These great men of Bible scholars that knew the writings and knew how to interpretate, the ones that were in the temple on a daily basis and reading of the scriptures, they're the ones that crucified him. Why? Why is it? Because it was a religious spirit. A religious spirit. They didn't see good when good came. God walked among them and they didn't even see him and didn't recognize him. Could it be the same today? Could it be the same today? You know, I preach against sin. I preach against immorality. I preach against filth of the flesh. I preach holiness. I preach to come out of the world and be a separate people. I preach to abstain from the things. The Bible says a good soldier for Christ separates himself from the appearance of evil, separates himself from the worldly things. A good soldier isn't entangled, the Bible said, in the affairs of the world. I teach these things and teach and preach and do all these things, trying to bring people into an understanding how to walk in God. But as I preach against those things of the world and the world order, as a rule, I don't get a problem with them. I don't have the homosexual community writing me letters about what I'm saying, even though they took me off of a radio station, but it was the religious people that done that because they don't want to offend them. It wasn't the drunkards giving me a problem. It wasn't the whoremongers, the harlots giving me a problem. It's the religious people. It's the religious people that you have problems with. That's where your cross comes at. This is where your cross comes. It's where his cross came. The Lord Jesus bared the cross of Calvary by the religious people crucifying him. And that's who's going to crucify you in this day and hour. Be the religious people. Because they want to live like the devil. They want to live in the ways of the world. They want to live in a worldly order. In today's Christianity, it's okay to live any way you want. It's okay to listen to any kind of music that you want. It's okay to dress any kind of way that you want. They don't teach us standards of godliness and holiness and virtue. Why? Because it's not popular. Why? Because the people won't sit under that kind of indoctrination and that kind of preaching. Because there's too many preachers that tell them it's okay. And they let the rock and rollers in the church and they let them come in with their filthy and ungodly music, even though they put godly lyrics to it. And you say, what does it matter? It matters a whole lot. Because they're deceived. And it's deception. Can the spirit of the Holy Ghost fellowship in that? No. Can I be full of the Holy Ghost and be born of God and find the enticement in my flesh in those things? One way, that you are a little baby and to have no understanding and God is being merciful and carrying you, or you're believing a lie and you're damned and you've seared your conscience over, the Bible says. Can a man partake of those things? Can I be in a rock and roll concert and call myself a Christian? No. Can I be a drunk and suck down alcohol? No. The Bible said that no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says, even though that the religious community has made acceptance for everything, The promise keepers have made acceptance for everything. They're bringing them in, getting them to say the sinner's prayer and telling them everything's okay. But it's not that way. You have to be born again. You have to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You got to walk in the ordinances of this Word of God and separate, as we read here this evening, from the world and the worldly ways. Do you like the world? Do you like the vain jingles of the world? Do you like the frolics of the world? Do you like the partying of the world? Do you like everything that the world's got? If you say no, then you're a liar. Because Satan brings pleasure for a season. He's going to make you like it, every bit of it. He wouldn't be very good in deception if he didn't. He's going to make you enjoy it. He's going to make you like it. And he's going to make you look forward to your trip to hell. Bible said it's a wide path to destruction. But it's a straight and narrow way, brothers and sisters, to find eternal life in Christ. It's sad that in this day and hour that people are not being indoctrinated in sound doctrine. They're not being taught the Word of God. Let me tell you something. It isn't like what the churches are teaching the people today. I'm going to stand against it. I don't care if I'm popular. I don't care if they don't like me. I don't care if they throw me off the radios. I don't care what they do. I'm going to preach the Word. I was talking to a man the other day. And they got what they call a 501c3, I think they call it. And it's where you're recognized by the government with a non-profit status, and it gives you certain benefits. But when you take on those benefits, there's certain things that you can't preach out of this Bible. And I'll never get that. And I'll never have it. Because I'm going to preach what this Word says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to preach the Word. Can a homosexual have salvation? No. Impossible. A homosexual can find salvation. And when he finds salvation and gets born again and gets saved, he leaves the immorality of the perversion of the flesh. And he gets full of the Holy Ghost, and he puts those sins and those things behind him. Can a drunkard have salvation? No. A salvation delivers the drunkard from drunkenness. Can he have gossip and backbiting and bickering and malice and envy and strife and discord? No. The Holy Ghost delivers you from those things and takes you away from those things. Can they lie? Can they cheat? The Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So we find that these are the attributes of sin. I'm going to read some more scripture to you just a little bit. Just talking with you, give you something to think about. Let me just read a little bit here out of Galatians 5. Just talk about the difference between Christianity and a heathen. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. This is light and darkness. It's what we're speaking about. So that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now this is the works of the flesh. There will be no flesh inheriting the kingdom of God except spirit flesh. So this is a way that we could look into this Word and find out what would separate us from the love of God. For the flesh lusts us against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. I don't know if I need to define those things. Adultery is a married individual having a marriage relationship with another man or woman outside of his own wife. Fornication is outside of wedlock having sexual relationships. Uncleanness, I don't think would need to be defined. Lasciviousness, we could say foolishness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, which pulls in the sodomite community. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For it is written, Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Looking for a place to close. So we find out there's two spirits at war within our members. If we go over to Romans 6, we find a man writing. The things that he would like to do, he finds himself not doing those things. And the things he don't want to do are the very things he finds himself doing. It's a continued warfare. Satan is seeking to devour your life. He is seeking to control your life. Do you do the things that you want to do, or do you do the things that the devil wants you to do? Do you do the things that you want to do, or do you do the things that God wants you to do? Who do you give your life to? Who controls your life? And you say, I got full control of my life. Nobody tells me what to do. I do what I want to do. That's just perfect proof that you are the devil and your father is the devil and that you do what he wants you to do. Because there is, in a dimensional perspective of thought, you think that you do what you want to do. But the Bible said that the carnal mind, and speaking of the carnal mind, is enmity with God. And the carnal mind is the enemy of God. The carnal mind is death, the Bible says. And when you're in that kind of a natural mind doing what you want, then that mind is taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And it's no longer you speaking, but it's the devil that's speaking through you. The devil can't rape, the devil can't kill, the devil can't ravish, the devil cannot do nothing until he manifests into a body. This is why youth like drugs today, because it takes the God consciousness and the senses that God has put into mankind, and that he's made man a little bit different, and it scars over that, and it pushes it aside, and they'll do things that they normally wouldn't do. Because of the senses being put down by alcohol or drugs. I've been there. I understand what it is. A man gets doped up, a man gets drunk up, he'll say things that he probably wouldn't say. Do things he probably wouldn't do. You get out there and frolic in the world, and you get out there and fellowship in the world and be partakers of the world, you could expect worldly things to happen to you. You'll find yourself going through the travails. You'll find the car wrecks. You'll find the knots on the head. You'll find all those things because you're in rebellion against God. And the Bible said that he chastens them that he loves. And if the chastening of God is on your trail, the best thing to do is line up. Line up with it and repent and give your life to God. You think, well, I'm young. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and fellowship the world and do what I'm going to do. But the Bible says the Spirit doesn't always strive with man. Today, as we read tonight in the Scriptures, today is the day of salvation. You may not have an opportunity tomorrow. I've seen coffins, they come in all sizes. Seen the little babies put in them, and I've seen the old put in them. You don't know what tomorrow's got to offer. The Bible said that this life is like a vapor and a mist. It's here and then it's gone. And the older you get, the more you realize that. When you're young, it seems like time takes forever. It seems like you're waiting, and you can't wait to get your driver's license. You can't wait to be an adult. You can't wait to get to the age to drink. You can't wait, and it just seems like it takes forever. And then after you get by those things, it just starts running by, and running by, and running by, and running by. But if you live to be 200 years old, what is that for all of eternity? What is it when you compare it to 1,000,000 years? Are you willing to sell out your eternity for damnation and destruction in eternal flames of hell for the frolics that this world's got to offer? And then if we think about the frolics that this world's got to offer, are they right? Are they just? Are you willing to sell your soul for a bowl of soup? And when we think of Esau, but then yet we'll find people selling their soul for a relationship, for a one-night stand. They'll sell their soul for a party, for a laugh, for a good time. Isn't it a shame? Think of eternity. Think of eternal life. Think of living forever. Would you be willing to give your life and surrender your life, as the Bible said, as your reasonable service, to give it as a living sacrifice unto God? I'll tell you what. I've let the devil have my life. I've let him use me. I've let him speak through me. I've let him have all of his pleasures in my life. I gave him myself as a businessman. Boy, he loves that. Because then you think you're good and you think you're doing right. And Satan says, boy, you're a good businessman. Everything's okay. But he owns your life. And he's just wasting and got you in an Indian death march. And you'll find yourself get down to the end of the trail and you got nothing. So I know what Satan is and what he does and how he works. And I'll tell you what, I have no regrets of giving my life to God. Not one iota of a regret. I got true friends when I got born again and had true, genuine Christian friends. Not everybody calls himself as a Christian is your friend or truly born again. But when you have a friend that's born of God, you got a true friend. Because he won't deceive you. He won't lie to you. He won't cheat you. He won't steal from you. He won't hurt you because he's got compassion and love in his heart. Could you say that of your worldly friends? I know I couldn't say that. My friends used to stand with me when I had the dope. You was a pretty good old boy when you had the weed at home. You was a pretty good old boy when you had the refrigerator full of beer. You was a pretty good old boy. But other than that, they wouldn't spit in your face and give you time of day. Say, it's not that way. You're just deceived. It's exactly that way. They'll leave you. Find yourself in problems and trouble. They'll walk away from you. Find yourself down, needing somebody. They're gone the other way. There's no loyalty in the world. Man, you're supposed to be your best friend. They'll take your wife, take your girlfriend. Supposed to be your best friends. They'll do all those things. Billy will tell you amen to that. Ain't that right? They'll do it. There's no loyalty in the world. But I'm telling you, when you get born of God, there's loyalty, there's faith, there's strength. You want a marriage? You want a relationship? Get it in God. Get it through the Spirit of God, by the direction of God, and by the leading of God. Then it'll hold, and it'll stand, and it'll be true, and it'll stay. Amen. Outside of God, it won't. The devil will destroy it and tear it to pieces. Seek God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the things of God. Find out who's speaking through you. Find out when your mouth is moving, who's speaking. Is this you speaking? Is it God speaking through you? Or is it the devil speaking through you? And you say, well, I think it's me. I think I say what I want to say. But when you speak, your words could be kill. They can bring death. Your words could wound and your words could kill. And the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're not spiritually minded, then you're carnal minded and Satan will speak through you and you won't even know it. And he'll speak and use you to hurt and to kill and to steal. Because that's what he's about. How would I know if God's speaking through me? Because you've yielded your members to the Spirit of God. And when he tells you to do something that's not desirable for you to do as a man or a woman, and he tells you to do something that you really don't want to do that takes sacrifice, and you go and do it in his stead, then it's him using your life and speaking through you. And many times, he will call on you as a Christian to do those very things. So remember, don't be living in a fairy tale land, thinking of some God that was 2,000 years ago and some devil that's down there dancing around in some flame somewhere, and that there's some heaven out somewhere on a planet. You just remember one thing, that there is a spirit world, And the spirit world's invisible. And the Bible said that we're encamped around about a cloud of witnesses. And that there's spirits all around. And if you could get your eyes into the quickening of the Spirit, you would see that there is a spiritual host all around about you. And if you was caught away and raptured into a heavenly thought and a heavenly mind and your eyes were quickened, these walls of this church and all these things would dissolve out of what you see, and you would see into a beautiful spiritual realm and spiritual world where Satan has free place that he can run and dwell in right now while the blood's on the mercy seat. And Satan has the freedom to go to and fro seeking who he could devour, seeking a place of inhabitation. The fallen spirits of the Antichrist are roaming this earth looking for a body that they could dwell in and live in, for that they could fulfill the desires of their perversion and filth and immorality. They want to take their things that are ordained of God. Relationship between man and woman is ordained of God in a marriage relationship and in the marriage perspective. But Satan will come and take those things that are of God and pervert them and turn them into perversion and uncleanness. The Bible said that man would leave his own natural desires, turning one towards another, and women the like and women the same. It's the Antichrist. It's the spirit of the devil. This is what God destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this has come across our land and our country so strong in this day and hour, that the churches are ordaining homosexuals and they have them in their churches and teaching, and it's not of God, it's the devil every time. It can't be. They can't be. I said and made a statement. They cannot continue in that lifestyle and have the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. Impossible. You cannot live like that and be a Christian. You cannot live like that and be born of God. When you're born of God, it'll clean you and take you out of those things. So, hopefully I've said something to enlighten you and your understanding, that you could consider, that you could think, and that you could ponder on the Word and start looking in the mirror and seeing, why? Why do I go where I go? Why do I walk where I walk? Why do I say the things that I say? Who's controlling my life? Do I really have my life in control? Or is there some demonic force, or is there some heavenly force, or some godly force, or some spiritual being, or some spiritual thing that uses me? Are you sensitive to spirits? Do you know when spirits are around and about you? Do you know what is using your vocal utterances? Do you know what's making you walk where you walk and when you go? Do you realize that if you took the human spirit outside of your body, that your body would be dead? So it's always a spirit that makes you do anything and everything you do. It's either your own human spirit. If you are pressed in necessity to go to the restroom, it's your human spirit letting you know that, and you walk to the restroom. If you're thirsty, it's that human spirit letting you know that. But what about other desires that come within your life, that comes to your conscious mind or come to your thought? What is making you want and motivating you to do those things? If they're not of God and they're not holy and righteous and virtuous and clean and upright, then whose thoughts are they? Are they yours by yielding your members to darkness? Or are you in deception and been deceived by Satan himself? Something to ponder on and think about. Are you born again? The Bible said you shall not inherit the kingdom of God lest you be born again. Are you born again? What must I do to be born again? We ministered on that just the other night. I don't know when it was. I remember speaking about it and reading the scriptures. What must I do to be born again? I think it would be something that if you're not, that you should consider. Is it as simple as praying? Yes, but then yet, no it isn't. It depends. Do you love Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you tired of the devil destroying your life? Taking things from you? You know, America went through some tragedy here, and it shook America. They found a little humility. They found a little bit of time for one another. Do you have to have tragedy come to your way, to your household, to your door, before you seek God? Do you have to lose a loved one? Do you have to lose a child? Do you have to lose maybe a member of your own body? Do you have to lose an arm or an eye to serve God? What's it going to take to wake you up to make you surrender your life to God? Do you think that you got this thing worked out with God, that you could continue to live the way you want to live and do what you're going to do and everything's okay and it's under the blood of Jesus? Don't be so foolish. Don't be so foolish to think that His Spirit always strives with you. Don't be so foolish to think that you could find repentance anytime you want and give your life back. Because if He quits drawing, then you can't. There's a day of cutting off. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. There's people that come to a place in this life that they cannot find repentance, that they can't find God. Esau sought Him with bitter tears of repentance and couldn't find Him. Judas took the money that he betrayed our God and our Savior with and threw it back on the temple floor and still couldn't find repentance with God and went out and hung himself. So, something to consider. When's the end of the world? When's the end of your world? When's the end of your life? Do you have tomorrow? Something to think about. Let's all stand. It's quicker than a weaver's shuttle, the Bible says. A vapor and a mist. I would say consider. Don't mock God. That means lightly esteem Him. Don't mock Him. Walk with Him, love Him, fellowship Him. He is your salvation. He is your Savior. There's no other way to have eternal life except through the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find Him through Baal. You won't find Him through Muhammad. You won't find Him through Allah. You won't find Him through Buddhist. You won't find Him smoking dope and snorting coke. You won't find Him in the bottom of an alcohol bottle. Amen. But I'll tell you where you'll find Him. He stands at your heart's door and He knocks. And He wants to come in and fellowship with you and you with Him. God is grace and mercy and kind and long-suffering. He loved you so much that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary, that you could have life and life more abundantly. We're serving an awesome God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service.
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be as ages roll throughout eternity?
Hallelujah.
I ask this question. Where will you be?
Something to think about.
Where will you be a million years from now?
Will you be burning in hell?
Will you be happy?
Or will you be happy?
Will you be singing as ages roll?
You are created as an eternal spirit. You have no choice of living forever.
I ask His question.
You most definitely are going to live forever, but where will you spend your eternity?
Will you be?
Praise you, Jesus.
Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea?
Praise you, Lord.
Let the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's a light of
the altars are open. The Bible says it's if there's any sick or afflicted among you, come into the altars.
Is that the
let the elders lay hands on them. The Bible said that they shall be healed.
Do I feel
if you don't know the Lord
breeze,
Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're glad to pray for you. If you needed to get delivered from an affliction, from a bondage, from a possession, amen. We'll pray with you. Hallelujah.
It's a welcome sight to me. Is that the Lord standing on heaven's balcony? And the light of home.
Hallelujah. Sing another song before we close the service.
Dark gray, and know that my poor soul was saved. Then to live in this world in the house of gold.
Praise you, Jesus.
And deny my God.
Hallelujah. Just let him minister to your heart. Hallelujah.
And know that my
just close your eyes and let him speak to your heart.
Then to live in this world.
Hallelujah.
In a house of gold. And deny my God. And lose my soul.
Praise you, Jesus.
People's world, they steal and lie.
Hallelujah.
For money's wealth.
Praise you, Lord.
And what it can buy. But don't they know on Judgment Day that gold and silver,
praise you, Jesus,
will melt away.
Hallelujah.
I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that,
praise
my
you, Jesus,
poor soul was saved than to live in this world house of gold.
Hallelujah.
And deny my God and lose my soul.
I remember ministering to y'all several months back saying that there was going to be an expose of the Son of Perdition being unveiled. And it's happening, brothers and sisters. There's an unveiling. There's going to be a spiritual manifestation of the sons of God. But at the same time, there will be a manifestation of the Antichrist and the devil. He'll be your neighbors, he'll be your families, your mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, your friends, is where you will see him and find him. And you find that they'll be dealt with accordingly. As they stood before the Lord, they said, I prophesied in your name, I cast out devils in your name, and you said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And the Bible says that they were taken, cast into the flames of hell. So, don't let it come on you as unawares. Don't be ignorant to what's happening in America. Don't be ignorant to what's happening in the churches. Don't be ignorant to what's happening in religion. Get your eyes open. It's a small flock. It's not the big synagogues. It's not the big tabernacles. It's not these big cathedrals. If you would read in the book of Revelations, it'll tell you the condition of this end-time church. And you think, well, I have troubles understanding it. Then just look out here into your communities and into the cities and look at what's going on in the churches. That's the best way for you to understand what it's talking about in the book of Revelations. Many antichrists among you. Many antichrists among you, the Bible says. Pray for them. Pray that they get their eyes opened up. Pray for your lost families. Time's narrowing in. And you say, oh, they've been saying that for a long time. Well, you might not have tomorrow. You might not have next week. I've got many acquaintances and friends and family and all kinds of things that ain't with us today, and their time done came to an end. Lord, if he tarries another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, how long are you going to be? When's your last breath? When's your last heartbeat? Say, you preachers always try to scare you. I wished I could scare you into salvation. I wished I could. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm talking facts and reality. The Bible says in the end times, young men's hearts will fail them. And it's happening. It's happening on a continuous basis. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother David if he'll dismiss us in prayer tonight. Y'all remember Brother Terry. Y'all going to go easy on him. I think he's feeling the judgments himself. He's feeling the... He said he feels like a failure. Y'all be easy with the brother. Try to encourage him. It's sad because I've seen him somewhat trying to make an effort, trying to make some changes. And it's Satan making an attack at him and his family. Just pray for him that he can make the changes necessary, that he can please an employer and hold down a job. Pray for him. You know, we're going to get people come in among us, brothers and sisters, that need help, need trained, need taught. They never had fathers. They may have had people that birthed them, passed the blood seed along and brought them into this world, but they never really had fathers to teach them, to train them, to show them. So, that's your duty as a Christian. Be a little long-suffering with them. Teach them. Try to help them what you can. And I'm sure that there will be some lessons learned in this thing. It seems to be a terrible thing, but it can turn into a good thing. I've seen some change in the brother since he's been here with us in a positive way. So I'll just pray for him. Amen. I'm going to get Brother David up here to dismiss us in prayer. I love you all and appreciate you. Lord bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.